We're going to look at Revelation 4 and 5. We're not going to define the details of this passage, but I want to just remind you of what we're going to be rejoicing and celebrating in heaven. Of course, we're going to rejoice and celebrate on everything, but Revelation 4 and 5 is us in heaven before the great tribulation on the earth. And so he tells us three things that we will be rejoicing with. So look, if you will, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the truth of it. And we ask you to encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we will celebrate is our Creator and the creation. He says in verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, which is us, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The first thing that we will celebrate is our Creator and the creation. We did not evolve. We did not come over millions of years. God made us, and God made the world that we live in. And it says very clearly that we will give him worthiness and glory because he has created all things. We will worship and celebrate all that he has created. We will look around us and we will see millions of people. I don't know what that will be like and how that will be, but we will see all of the people that God created and saved. We will see all the angelic beings whom God created. We will see the wonderful heaven that God created and made. He will make a new heaven and earth, and we will see a brand new earth that he has created, and we will marvel and worship him for the one who created all things. And secondly, notice, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Someone was telling me this morning they had visited the Ark in Cincinnati and said it's quite impressive. In one of the places, they said, they had a huge bug collection. And we were talking and said, you know what? If you just ignored every other thing in creation and you just looked at the bugs, do you know how many bugs there are? You might have different kinds there. Now, you may not like bugs, but do you know how many kinds there are and how many there are? And yet each one of those God made. Animals are just absolutely amazing. People are amazing. I still, I've told this 100 times, but I still, when I go to the hospital and I'll sit there for a few minutes, I just marvel looking at the painters of the ones they painted before, the people that were part of Archibald. I'm just amazed. How do you take a brush and don't draw it, you paint? You paint the coat and you see the wrinkle in the coat. You see the coat buttoned. You see the fingers. You see the knuckles. How do they do that? I mean, folks, I'm just amazed. We only have a head. We only have eyes. We only have a nose. We only have a chin. How do you make a billion different people who look different? I mean, how do you do that? That is amazing. And yet, that's what we will do. We will marvel at God's creation, and we will celebrate that because we'll be a whole part of everything that God has made. And I love it when it says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure and enjoyment. Heaven will be created for us, for his pleasure, but also for our enjoyment. All that we will enjoy and everything that God has made in eternity and even now, we will rejoice in it because it was done by God to give him pleasure and enjoyment. We will celebrate the creation, that he is the creator, and all that we see and all that we will enjoy was made by him. Now look, if you will, in chapter 5. And there'll be a second thing that we celebrate. Read several verses of scripture and you'll get the feeling of it. The second thing we will celebrate is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and gold vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, it's a whole bunch. It's a whole bunch that can't be numbered. This is what we will be saying. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Remember what I said this morning? Y'all look up in Revelation how many times he uses the word Lamb that he doesn't use anywhere else in the New Testament. Because the focus of heaven is on the Lamb who was slain. It said it here in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It said it again in verse 9, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. To say he is worthy is to give him honor and praise. And we will be honoring and praising our Savior. Not only will we be praising the Lord for creating all that we will enjoy, but we will be praising the Lamb who died on the cross for us. You and I know it. We hear it. But as I said this morning, we have to be careful that the things we know we don't become so familiar with that they don't continue to impact the attitudes of our heart. You know you're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you're not careful, you'll just sort of live your days and weeks and kind of give a thought towards it, but never let the impact of Christ impact your heart of how wonderful he was to save you. If you don't think it's important, then I'll take you to a few gravesides of funerals that I did. There was no assurance that these people went to heaven. As a matter of fact, in many cases, there was probably the knowledge that they did not go to heaven. You cannot imagine the turmoil and the sadness of that. When there's a funeral where we know the person went to heaven, there's a grieving, but there's a comfort. And I've been by many where there was not any comfort because they did not know the Lord and they didn't even know there was a Lord. And so the truth is, you and I will be praising the Lamb, the one who sacrificed on the cross for us. And there is no other way. There is no other way. And it is not just the Lamb, but it is the fact the Lamb saved us and changed us. Because salvation is not just some cheap thing that we trust in, and that's it. It is the fact that we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." You read the last part of Revelation 21 and 22. You ought to just take your Bible and start reading, and you'll find it never really refers to Christ. It always refers to the Lamb, to the Lamb, to the Lamb. It's used about 20 times in the book of Revelation, the Lamb. Because Revelation is sort of the end. Revelation is the picture. Revelation is the insight into heaven that we will enjoy. And so the emphasis is on the Lamb who saved us. And I really think we will see all the scars that were in his body. We will rejoice in the Savior. We will celebrate that. I think every Sunday ought to be a celebration of Christ and a celebration of being saved. And that's the third thing. Go back to verse 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The third thing we will celebrate is our marvelous salvation. We will celebrate we were created. We will celebrate the one who died for us. But we will celebrate salvation, because he says, "You have redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." There is no exclusion. There were people all through history. There will be people all around the world from every walk of life who will be in heaven because they experience salvation from God. I made it sort of my life's work to understand what it means to be saved. And what bothers me when I listen to people is it's like they only know what it means to be saved, but they don't understand the extent of what it means. And they don't rejoice in the riches of what it means to be saved. And Romans and Ephesians and all those books explain it in its wonderful depth, that God reached down and saved us, and we will sing the song. "You're worthy, for you were slain and you redeemed us." Means to buy us back. You brought us out of our lostness and brought us into your family, and you brought us from everything. And then notice verse 10. "And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." In other words, you've made us in a position to be in charge and to be servants of yours. You know, it'd be nice if someone world famous and worldwide known, you were to get a job for and work for that company or work for those folks. You know, it'd be quite impressive. Well, we would have been taken out of sin and lifted up and saved, and then we're made to be kings and priests, those who have a relationship with God and those who have authority to serve him and accomplish things for him. Thinking about next Sunday and Labor Day, and thinking about people who work and all those who worked and the talents and the abilities that people have. Well, whatever heaven will be, we will be rejoicing that salvation lifted us up so that we're now qualified to serve him, to rule with him, to accomplish things, to do things. He's talking here in the millennium, but also throughout eternity. We are saved, and we will have the privilege to serve the Lord, to do some task, whatever it may be. I don't think I'll be preaching. It would be fun if I was still preaching in heaven. I think we'll all know, and you'll go, "Well, I've heard that one before, preacher." So we already know that one. What's the point of preaching it? Maybe not. I don't know what it'll be like. But we'll be serving him, accomplishing things for him, because we were saved. Listen how they say it. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and you have redeemed us, saved us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You've saved us unto God. And then you've made us unto God kings and priests, servants. People have a relationship with him directly. And you've made us unto God his servants. You've made us unto God people who now will serve him and reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. You can have the world and their twisted philosophy. You can have much of what is said today as twisted. I'd rather have Jesus Christ and salvation and what I will enjoy in eternity and what you will enjoy in eternity. So I asked you tonight, do you ever just marvel and thank God for what you see around you? You know, you can do it when you maybe go to the mountains or you go to the beach. I tell you, when we had the opportunity to go to the beach recently, I just like to sit out there and I just watch the wave. I mean, it just amazes me. How does that water that you can't see, and you can't see when it ends because it goes clear across, it's big, how do those waves keep coming up? Every once in a while I would be sitting there, and every once in a while a wave would come up and come across my feet. And then the others wouldn't. And I keep thinking, okay, why don't those waves just come on in and take us over and destroy everything? Well, they can during a hurricane. But you know what happens after the hurricane? They recede right back to where they were. You ever sat there and just watched them? They just keep coming. They just keep coming. They never quit. Those waves just keep coming in. They just keep coming in. It is a marvel to look at the world. You see, sometimes I think you and I look at people and we don't realize and marvel that we are creations of God. God made each one of us unique. And contrary to the way they are today, God did make man and woman. And we are different. We had a little discussion in our house today, and we laugh about it. We are different. But that's what God intended, so that we would be enjoyed. He enjoys us because we're part of him and part of his creation. He made us that way. He made us the way you are. Do you ever just take the time to just look around and go, my goodness, boy, Lord, it's amazing. I have a little bird feeder by our window. It's just amazing sometimes to look at, wow, look at that. What is that deer? Because I can never remember what birds are. I know what the cardinals are, and that's about it. You ever just marvel at it? You ever just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for you? And just say, Lord, thank you. Can't wait to see you one day. And do you ever just thank God for being saved? The whole world may fall apart tomorrow, and you may fall apart tomorrow. But the truth is, if you're saved, it's all right. It's all right. You get to enjoy the Lord forever and ever and ever. You know what we'll be doing in heaven? We'll be praising him for being our creator and the creation. We'll be praising the Savior, and we'll be praising our salvation of how wonderful it is to be saved. How we all need to remember this when Monday morning comes up, and it's hard to get out of that bed, and you have to have your cup of coffee. I used to not drink coffee. Now I do. I couldn't understand why anybody drank coffee. But you know what I discovered? If you put that little coffee creamer in there, that coffee don't taste too bad. It's actually pretty tasty. You get going. Don't forget to think and go, wow, Lord. All this house I live in, you provided the material for someone to put it together. I'm going to get to go out and drive in a car somewhere, and you provide the material for that to be invented and put together. Thank God for his creation. Thank God for your Savior. And just thank God for being saved. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, thank you, thank you, because you are worthy to be praised. Because you made all things and they were done for your pleasure. You're worthy to be praised because you are the Savior, the Lamb who died for us. And you're worthy to be praised because you redeemed us and saved us. And not just us, but people from every corner of the globe. We will probably be shocked at how many will be in heaven and how great it will be. Thank you, Lord. Help us to think on these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.